today. Number one, God uses circumstances. Number one, God uses circumstances. Please note that with me in verse number one. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Notice the first paragraph of Luke chapter 2 is verses 1 through 7. And notice the word that continues to repeat throughout it in verse 1, that all the world should be taxed. Verse 2, and this taxing. Verse number 5, to be taxed with Mary, his wife. And all went to be taxed. Verse number 3, I don't know if there's anybody here that likes paying taxes. Probably not. But it was this horrible circumstance that was used by God to bring about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world, the incarnation of God himself, in the right city, in the right time. And I want to say to you this morning that God uses circumstances, even very, very difficult circumstances, to bring about God's will in our lives and God's best for our lives. If you can just picture this, they're living in Nazareth. Joseph is already married to Mary. Amen? Got to watch some of those new translations. They'll call her his fiance, and words like that. No, the Bible says they were already married. Mary was Joseph's wife, and Joseph was Mary's husband. Amen? They had a legitimate legal marriage. Now, marriage back then was quite different than it was in America. In America today, a lot of people live together before they get married. Amen? But in the Bible days, they were married before they lived together. The total opposite. When you read the Bible, you've got to get into the culture of the day in order to understand the Bible. And the culture of the Middle East was that marriage was so sacred that a man and a woman would enter into a legal binding document, literally a covenant, not a contract, but a covenant, where they became husband and wife legally, but they never came together physically. They never had physical intimacy until an official ceremony took place. And this was a way to protect the sacred institution of marriage from people just running off and getting married for physical reasons. They entered into a covenant that was legally binding, that was financially binding. And it's not like our country at all. We do about the opposite here in our country, sadly. The Bible says in Matthew 1 and 19, then Joseph, her husband. The Bible says in Matthew 1 and verse 20, take unto thee Mary thy wife. Matthew 1 and verse 24, and took unto him his wife. Verse 25, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And so they had probably been married legally in a covenant, Joseph and Mary, for over a year before they ever had physical sexual relationships with each other as husband and wife. Imagine that. Imagine that kind of expectation on somebody, something that holy, something that pure. Now, one of the things we've tried to do all year is encourage you to stick to the King James Bible, because some of those other versions call her a young woman, doesn't call her a young virgin. And some of those others will call her his fiance. No, it was his wife. And she was her husband. And they were married. Jesus was not born outside of marriage. He was not born outside of fornication. Why? Because the Bible says in Deuteronomy 32:2, I'm just going to quote the Bible here. I'm just going to use the Bible word. In Deuteronomy 23 and verse 2, it says, a bastard shall not come into his congregation for 10 generations or into his temple. That means an illegitimate child. Imagine that today. Well, half the people in our country couldn't go to church. God loves people. It doesn't matter if a person's been born in marriage or born outside of marriage or in fornication or whatever. God loves you today. I assure you of that. I assure you of that. We do not live under the law of Israel. I quoted the law of Israel, but Jesus came and was born in the law and fulfilled the law. And so he had to come into this world through a legitimate legal marriage. And do not let those other perverted translations take that away from you. Jesus was born from a legal, God-ordained and approved of marriage of a husband and a wife, even though Joseph was not his father, as some of the other perverted translations say. Jesus was the Son of God, born of a virgin, born of the seed of the Holy Ghost. So just to keep you from being confused, I just want to say, read the King James Bible and read your children the King James Bible. They don't need these new children's versions that make it easier. Let them learn with the best. What's wrong with taking the hard way? There's nothing wrong with taking the hard way. That builds character. That builds discipline. Start them out with the best and keep them with the best. You'd be amazed at how these kids downstairs can understand the King James Bible. And little boys and girls, that's all my kids ever grew up on. And it doesn't twist up and mess up and pervert up and water down the Christmas story, as those other ones do. They got it right here. Jesus was born into the world in a legal covenant marriage between Joseph and Mary. And so he was not an illegitimate child, or the Bible word is bastard. I know that's a hard word, but it's in the Bible. And so Jesus did go into the temple. Praise God. He fulfilled the scriptures that said, the last word we got before God went silent for 400 years from Malachi was that suddenly the Lord would come to his temple. Amen. And Jesus is Lord. And he showed up in the temple. And he went in and out of the temple. We've got to understand God uses circumstances. And it was a difficult time. Joseph was like, he couldn't understand how humanly, why is my espoused wife pregnant? And in his human mind, the only rationale he could come with is that she must have been unfaithful. And so he went away because he was a just man to put her away, that is to divorce her privately. He didn't want to make a public example of her. He loved her so much, but he couldn't understand how she could have done that. But while he was thinking on those things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, fear not, Joseph, to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And then he got the understanding from God that he needed. But that was a hardship. Do you know the accusations that flew around about that? Even when Jesus was ministering, 30 years later, people pointed a finger at him and said, we weren't born of fornication like you were. But it wasn't fornication. Amen? And so there was difficulties. Think of the difficulty of having to leave Nazareth because of this taxing up in Galilee and travel 70 miles down to Bethlehem, because that's where Joseph and Mary were born. That was their hometown. And when they were taxed under Roman tyranny, they had to go back to their hometown and pay their taxes. 70 miles. I mean, that's an inconvenience in a car to go pay taxes. We don't know whether they walked. You know, we always see the Christmas story, Mary riding on a donkey and so on and so forth. That'd be awful hard if she did have a donkey. Being 9 months pregnant, 70 miles to pay her taxes. I'm telling you, God can use hard circumstances. And then when they got there, the city was so booked up that they went to the inn, and there was no room in the inn. And so Joseph and Mary ended up staying out, perhaps in a barn. We know there was a trough there, because that's what the word manger means. A manger was just simply a trough where you poured animals' feed in, and the animals came and ate out of the trough of the manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. According to the studies of Dr. R.B. Wallet, our date is pretty accurate. It was probably the end of December. And I've got an article you can read on that. It's an amazing article. We have the date pretty accurate. It's cold over there. Hardships. Why does God allow hardships in our lives? Because some of the most beautiful things in all of the world come from hardships. You see, Jesus couldn't be born in Nazareth. Why? Because the prophet Micah had said 700 years before Christ these words in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Egypt, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me. That is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. You see, Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. The house of bread is what that means. And the prophet said that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem, not in Nazareth. And so very, very difficult circumstances were created to bring about God's will. And you know, sometimes the hardships that have been ordained in your life and in my life and the circumstances that have changed and made us uncomfortable, oftentimes if you'll just follow God, if you'll walk by faith, if you won't, you know, won't lose your focus, oftentimes some very good things will come about out of that, and you will look back and you will see that it was God who ordained the storms in your life, the troubles in your life, the trials in your life, the hardness in your life, to bring about His will. And you'll be glad He did. And we learn that here in Luke chapter number 2, and this taxing was a terrible thing. You can imagine the Romans, what a terrible, you think taxing is bad in America. Imagine what it was like living under Roman tyranny, especially as a captive people, as the Jews were. What if somebody said, some of you have been, you weren't even born in New York State. What if somebody said that today? You got to go back to your hometown now and pay your taxes. And some of you have to leave the country. You have to go somewhere else, pay your taxes. God uses circumstances to bring about His perfect will in people's lives. Notice number two, God uses poor people. God uses poor people. The poorest of the poor people were those who were employed as shepherds in Bible days. In fact, there's some people that esteem shepherds as an abomination, as a disgusting trade. The Bible tells us the Egyptians had that kind of an attitude towards shepherds. It was a disgusting trade to be a shepherd. And yet to these poor shepherds, we have the Christmas angels appear in verse 8. Through verse 20, it says, and there were, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, Brother Chris pretty much quoted it, but it says, they found the babe. The shepherds came, it was to these shepherds, to these poor, to these outcasts, to these that were not you know, in the intelligentsia, and they weren't the rich, and they weren't the famous, and they weren't the popular ones that lived, but the ones out in the field, the forgotten ones, came the Lord with a revelation that they would be the ones that would see the Christ child on Christmas Day. They're the only ones. I know we sang about the wise men earlier and so on. They didn't really come till Christ was a child in Matthew chapter 2. You read the story accurately, and the wise men came to Jesus in the house somewhere, and he was already a child, and presented frankincense, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. That's okay. I'm not going to split hairs over the story. But the shepherds were the only ones who had a revelation, and an angel, literally an angel from God. Can you imagine that? Here you are, a poor shepherd, and God commissions an angel to leave heaven to talk to you and to say in verse 10, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." That had to be the best news they ever heard in their lives. An angel, they actually heard an angel say this to them. Unto you is born. And you know the same thing is true today. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Jesus Christ is your Savior. He is born to be your Savior. Not to be a historical figure or a prophet or a great martyr or religious leader. He is born to be your Savior. Angels are messengers of God. They never lie. They simply deliver the message God asked them to deliver. And he said this, they said this, "You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And then here's where Chris left off, verse 13, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels," notice it's plural in verse 15, it was singular in the declaration of the gospel, but now it's just plural. A whole host of them had come. And these shepherds were having the night of their life as they had a host of angels saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." That doesn't mean man was going to have peace. That means that peace had come in the person of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 9:6 is one of the greatest all-time prophecies about Christmas. It says this, "For unto you is born, unto you a child is born, a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." That's who Jesus is, the Prince of Peace. If you don't have peace in your mind today, Jesus Christ is who you need. And there's a lot of people that don't have any mental peace. If you don't have any peace in your spirit today, you're troubled in your spirit. Jesus Christ is the answer. Look, I mean it. If you don't have any peace in your financial life, Jesus Christ is the answer. You come to know the Lord as your Savior, and you get with His financial plan, and He's going to speak peace to that storm. And He'll show you what to do with your money. I've seen Jesus Christ speak peace to marriages. Amen. Marriages that weren't going to make it until Christ came in and saved them. Amen. I've seen Christ speak peace to families. Troubled children. Jesus can speak peace to those demon-possessed. And there's a lot of them around this world today. People have troubled souls today. People have worries and fears, and they fret and they complain. And there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. But then when they get saved, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He can bring peace into every single area, every realm of your life. The peace of God that passeth understanding can rule in your heart and your mind. But you got to know Jesus. You got to know Jesus as your Savior. He's the Prince of Peace. The first thing out of the angel's mouth that day was these two words, "Fear not." Fear not. That's how God always starts His conversations. If you're here today and you're afraid of God, you know what God's first words to you are? Fear not. Some people are afraid of God. They're afraid to go to church. They're afraid to open their Bibles. They're afraid to pray. They're like Adam, hiding themselves, and Eve, hid themselves from the presence of the Lord, and God always comes and says, fear not. God is a God that can bring peace to every realm of your life, especially your soul. Do you remember when you got saved? I remember when I got saved. It was like a million pounds of sin and guilt and conviction and embarrassment and shame from all the things I'd done and said. When I got saved, I asked Jesus to save me. It was like that million pounds just lifted off my soul. And a wave of peace just came over me. I said, man, I found something. I started telling people about Jesus Christ. I found something that brought peace. God uses poor people. These shepherds, they said, man, we can't keep this to ourselves. And they made haste, and they were the only ones that day. It says in verse 16, they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Can you imagine that? The shepherd said, I don't know if Jesus was 7 pounds, 8 pounds, 9 pounds. I don't know how big of a baby he was, but they saw God. They saw a little baby God in a manger that day. These poor people that society had, they were outcasts to society. Stay out in your fields. It doesn't matter who you think you are or what your inferiority complex is, God loves you. God goes after the people no one else wants. He loves you. You may feel like an outcast, a nobody, someone who's obscure, insignificant, nobody even knows your name. God does. God says, fear not. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. And they got so excited about it, these shepherds became evangelists. And it says this in verse 17, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying that was told them concerning the child. You know, when you really get saved, you end up telling somebody about it eventually. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Eventually, you got to say, I got to tell somebody about this. Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Last thing, number three, God uses humble servants. God uses humble servants. Notice Mary. It says in verse 20, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Verse 21, when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. I'm going to stop there this morning. But I want you to notice God uses humble servants. I don't know if there was a humbler lady that ever walked the earth than Mary. She was a virgin. She was a young lady. God loved her. And God chose her for a very, very special, unique job. Because back 700 years earlier, the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 7, verse 14, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God needed a virgin. God needed a righteous young lady. Thank God for righteous young ladies. You girls, stay pure, okay? Stay clean. God will use you. God has something special planned for you. You stay pure. Don't let anyone laugh at your purity. Don't let anyone laugh at your virginity. You boys, stay pure. Stay clean. Stay virgin. God uses virgins. You read over in Revelation 7, Revelation 14, greatest revival ever. Coming to this earth is going to be led by a bunch of virgin men who stayed pure and put God first in their lives. If you've lost your virginity, you just come to God, confess it to Him, trust Christ as your Savior, and it'll be under the blood. You can start all over. Amen? Start all over. Praise God. But one day, an angel came, a special angel. His name was Gabriel. Came to a virgin and said, you're going to conceive. Bring forth a child. You know what she said? Be it unto thy handmaid according to thy will. whatever God wants for me. And another man said to her, you know, this is a great task that you're going to take upon you. There's going to be a sword that's going to pierce through your own soul. Mary, this isn't going to be easy. You're going to stand at the foot of a cross one day and see your own son slaughtered on a cross. This special son, God. God, you're going to carry God in your womb for 9 months. Now you're going to see him slaughtered. And Mary's one of the most fascinating women that has ever lived. We don't worship her. We don't pray to her. We don't make statues of her and put them in our yards. Amen. She is not our mediatrix. We don't need her to be saved. She's not our intercessor. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. That's all we need. Jesus Christ is enough for you to pray, to mediate for you. But we needed Mary to fulfill biblical prophecy. So Jesus could be born of a virgin without the blood of a human being, but rather the blood of God in his body. If he'd have been born of Joseph, he'd have been a sinner just like us. But he was born of God. And that holy child that shall be conceived in thee shall be called the Son of God. And so Jesus came forth with pure blood from her womb and eventually offered that blood as a sacrifice for us on the cross. No sin. No human father involved. And the blood of a mom doesn't mix with the blood of a baby. It's an amazing miracle. Birth. And so we thank God for Mary. God uses humble servants. And if you and I will be humble, God will use us for some task. Maybe not as great as this, but God will use you. I can't wait to meet Mary someday and thank her. Amen. Don't worship her. Don't pray to her anymore. I'm going to say thank you. If I get the chance, I don't know how heaven works, but I'm going to say thank you. Thank you for staying pure. Thank you when the Lord asked you, you said, yes, I'll do it. Thank you for all the trials you had going through your life, watching the way they treated your son and watching him be crucified. Thank you for helping that first church start in Jerusalem. Amen. She did. We owe a lot to her. I'll thank her someday. She was just a humble servant, just a handmaid. God uses circumstances. God uses poor people. God uses humble servants. God can use you and I. As we begin to close out human history, there's still work to do for God. God is using people who will be poor of spirit, at least. Maybe you got a lot of money, but if you're poor of spirit, God will use you. Amen? Nothing wrong with having money. Just be poor of spirit. God will use you if you're a humble servant, just like Mary, to say, whatever, God, whatever you want from me, I'm yours. God will use you. And God will use our circumstances. Some of you don't know what's going on in your life. You're so confused. You're like a termite in a yo-yo. You have no idea why are these things happening to you. You be faithful. And just like Mary and Joseph, through very extreme, difficult circumstances, brought about the will of God, the work of God. So all the things that you're going through are going to work out someday, for all things work together for good. To them that love God, that's the secret. To them that are the called according to his purpose. Love God. Get involved in his purpose. And even the worst times of your life are going to work together for good. God uses circumstances. Let us bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. We pray that each one of us would see from this old Christmas story that you are a God that uses very difficult circumstances to bring about great things. That you use poor servants, outcasts, people nobody else wants, God will use. And you use humble servants like Mary who keep themselves clean and just say, I want to do God's will. Lord, we pray for such people of this caliber in our church by a work of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen.